for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday morning, September the 3rd, 1994. Labor Day weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Tommy Cook of Tulsa, Oklahoma is the speaker of the morning.
Praise the Lord. Father, again, we thank you today, Lord, for bringing us together. We thank you for the good word we've had in this meeting, Lord. Thank you for all the ministries you've brought, Lord, and the word of the Lord through them, and even those yet who will yet share. We bless your people again today, Lord. And again, we humble ourselves before you, knowing without you we are nothing, we can do nothing, we can say nothing apart from you. But we trust in you, Lord, to help us, and we submit to the head, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we bless your people. And everybody said, in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, love you, and appreciate you today. Thank you for coming. Praise the Lord. I'm very glad you're here today. I'm very glad Jesus is here today. Amen. Without him, we couldn't be here. Praise the Lord. We want to share again a word, possibly along the line we did yesterday. I said yesterday that we were teaching on the soul, and I said in Revelation 12, that the man-child, as he is born or birth, comes forth in that mature realm, especially in the soul realm, that God raises him up, and then he takes him to the throne. And then I said, also, war breaks out. How many know we're in a war today? Come on. And then I said that, of course, Satan is cast down. The woman is persecuted, going into the wilderness, being tested, and so forth. Now, let's go to Revelation 12, and we want to look at some of this today. Revelation chapter 12. I appreciated the word Brother Leroy shared yesterday, and Brother Speed last night. Praise the Lord. And we believe God's opening our eyes. And if we're hungry, he'll open our eyes much, much more. Praise the Lord. God wants us to all come out of deception. Can you say amen? And we are, I believe, in some areas. And he wants to even take us out more. Now, chapter 12 of Revelation, here in the scriptures. Look at verse 4, chapter 12. And verse 4, let's all read it together. His tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Praise the Lord. And that born there is the birthing in the soul, the mature realm, I believe, of God in a people. Now, we know there's shooting stars. There's wandering stars. There are falling stars, there are natural stars, there are Hollywood stars, but we need to know the morning star. Hallelujah. And his name is Jesus. Now look in Revelation 22:16 for just a minute. Let's look at the scripture there. 22:16. And the Bible tells us here in this verse, and this book has Jesus' special endorsement. And he said, and in chapter 22, verse 16, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel. Now, that angel was a prophet. You know that God has prophets called angels and apostles and teachers and shepherds and evangelists. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things. Now, what things? The revelation of Jesus. In the what? Churches. When's the last time have you heard the revelation of Jesus? Well, we need to hear it. I mean, oh, Jesus wants to reveal himself to you and to I. Then he said, I am the root, the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. You could teach his first coming there as well as the second coming in that verse. But he said, I have sent mine angel. Now turn back to verse 8 here in that same chapter. And John said, when I saw these things, I mean, want to see some things. We got to have our eyes open, Melder. Praise God. How many enjoyed Melvin's preaching yesterday? By the Holy Ghost. Amen. I, John, saw these things and heard them, and when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren. Come on. The prophet and of them which keep the sayings of this book worship God. I mean, you know, no angel, no minister will ever take worship from anybody. It belongs to God. Can you say amen? Amen. And to God alone, no man is to be worshipped. And that's our problem. We put man up on a pedestal. Come on. We put ministry way up high. Amen. But I tell you, Jesus needs to be high and lifted up in our hearts. Amen. We need to see Jesus today. Praise the Lord. And John thought he was Jesus, and he fell at his feet and said, Get up. I'm a man. I'm a servant. I'm a prophet. Praise the Lord. He had the revelation of Christ. And yet he must have looked like Christ because John thought he was. Praise the Lord. So he is the morning star. Now, back in Revelation 12, it says that this tail drew the stars of heaven and cast them down to the earth. Now, years ago, I remember probably 10 years ago or some, maybe before that, I can't remember. But I walked into church and I just laid my Bible in. When it did, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And he said, the stars are fallen. Yeah. And when he spoke that to me, just a flood of scriptures came through me, you know, and he showed me about the falling stars. This is not something that happened way back there. This is happening now, and it shall happen. Right. Of course, we know men in the past have fallen. We know the enemy fell. We know angels fell. And how many know he fell from his place with God in the beginning? Right. And we know he's the prince of the power of the air now. How many know he's going to fall to the earth? Totally, completely? He's going to fall in the pit, and then he's going to be cast alive, hallelujah, amen. In the lake of fire. Somebody says amen. Amen. And he'll never be redeemed again. That's hogwash. Amen. The devil would not even want to be saved if he could. No, he'll never be redeemed. He is eternally damned. Can you say amen? Amen. Let's give the Lord a good hand. Hallelujah. Come on. Praise Jesus. We love you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, turn back to Isaiah 9. We looked there yesterday, Bill. I want to look at it again. In Isaiah 9, we saw about this tail of the dragon. Isaiah chapter 9, the scripture says in verse 6, verse 14, Therefore, the Lord will cut off from Israel. Now today we are the Israel of God. Galatians 6 tells us. How many believe that you are a Jew today? Amen. A circumcised Jew. Therefore, the Lord will cut off from Israel. God is cutting some things off. And head and tail, branch and rush, notice, in one day. When God does it, it's done. He does it quickly. How many know he's going to do a quick work in this hour? Cut it short in righteousness. The ancient, the elder, that is the honorable, he's the head, and the prophet that teaches something. Lies, he is the tail. So those who follow the lies or the false prophets or the prophets who teach lies are going to fall. And so in Revelation 12, when the tail brings the stars down, it's men and women following the tail ministry. And as a result, they will fall. Because look at the next verse. For the leaders of this people cause them to err, and they that are led of them are destroyed. So we need some God-given discernment today to know who we're following. Amen? Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. And so we have to follow men and women who are following the Lord. But if they deviate, keep going on for the Lord. Amen? Praise the Lord. So that's true. Now, what is a false prophet? A false prophet is one who is a deceiver. There's a lot of deceivers in America. There's a lot of deceivers in the church. But thank God, there's a lot of men and women who are not deceivers. Amen? Praise the Lord. We know that a false prophet has a false spirit. Inwardly is where his problem is. It's within himself. We know there's false miracles, false signs, false wonders. Not every miracle is of God. Look in Deuteronomy 13. Let's look at the scripture together here. Chapter 13, and I like to look at verse 1. Deuteronomy chapter 13. And verse 1, thank you, Lord. And the scripture says, if there arise among you a prophet. Now, we thank God for prophets. Hallelujah. Amen. I've had many of them come to me and minister to me, and I thank God for the word of the Lord they've brought to me. But he said, if there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and we believe in real dreams and visions from God, and gives you a sign or wonder. And of course, if that happens, we'd all jump over the pew, wouldn't we? And notice the next verse. And the sign or the wonder come to pass. I mean, it happens. We said, this has got to be God. Not necessarily. Whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken. You're not to listen to the words of that prophet or the dreamer dreams, for the Lord your God's going to do something here. He's going to prove you. How many's been proven in some of these areas? Raise your hand. I can raise mine twice, but my Bible fall apart. I said it yesterday. It's still loose. But notice, and obey his voice, and you shall serve him, and in verse 4, you shall walk after the Lord your God, fear him, keep his commandments, obey his voice, and you shall serve him and cleave unto him, unto the Lord. Praise God. But God is going to let us be tested. He's going to let us be tried in some of these situations. Amen? Praise God. How many know we're very gullible today? We're too gullible. We accept too many dreams, too many visions, too many this, too many that, without testing and checking it out by the Word of God. Every one of us. And we need help, Lord. We need discernment from the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen? So we must be careful. Now, a false prophet also brings the world. He's world. He brings the world into the congregation, we'd say. Look in 1 John 4, just a second. We're just looking at a few scriptures here, getting started. 1 John 4, and we see this. How many know if a man's ministering and he's got he's caught up in the world, he's going to minister that spirit to the congregation? Come on, what is the world? Help me. Lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. Praise the Lord. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Notice the scripture now. Beloved, believe not every spirit, because there are many false spirits. But try, test, prove, check them out. The spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. That is, into the lust of the eye, the flesh, and pride of life. Now look at verse, let's come on down just a minute. Look in verse 5, verse 4. You're of God, little children, have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Now verse 5. They are all the lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Therefore speak they of the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and pride of life. And the lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and pride of life heareth them. And that means if we've got that garbage in us, we're going to open up and say, boy, this guy's of God. God has got to purge us from that world spirit. Can you hear me? Look at the next verse. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God hears not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And we must know the difference between truth and error. And there is a demon of error in the land and in the church. And we have to recognize it and deal with it in our own life. Somebody say amen. Amen. Praise God. I'll tell you what else the false prophet does. It exalts the beast system. It exalts the beast system. It has a large following. False prophets have a large following. They are loved where the true prophets are hated. True prophets are hated. A false prophet gathers people around himself, not around Jesus. A true prophet points people to Jesus, not himself, because it wears him out. Man's a fool to gather people around himself all the time. Isn't that right? Huh? It wears him out. I mean, not that we don't love people. It's just, John knows. Hallelujah. A false prophet is a wolf in sheep's clothing. But again, you can know them by their tracks, by their smell, and a wolf can't grow wool, can he? No way. He may try, he'll never make it. Amen? Praise the Lord. Look at Matthew 24. Now, Speed talked about this last night. Matthew 24, and I really enjoyed that word last night. Praise God. I tell you, that light on Daniel 9, it's so good. I'm glad Speed brought those scriptures out. Daniel 9 is really a revelation today, the way we've been taught in the past. Matthew 24, look at verse Look at verse 11. Jesus said, many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. I mean, there are many on the Broadway. You know why? Because they're following false prophets. Now listen to what he says. Because, here's the reason, iniquity or lawlessness shall abound or be multiplied, the love of how many?
Many
shall wax cold. They'll go from being a hot Christian to a cold Christian. Amen? And Jesus said, I want you to hot or cold, of course. But if you're in the middle, I'm going to cast you out of my mouth. Now, he said, because of iniquity, and I believe false prophets are literally bringing iniquity into the congregation. And God's people are following that, and it's leading them away from the love of Jesus. Amen. Now, but in the midst of that, God's bringing forth a kingdom. How many believe that in verse 14? This gospel of the kingdom is going to be proclaimed right in the middle of false prophets and deception and those who are leaving the love of God. There's a lot of people going to follow Jesus and the kingdom. Amen. Hallelujah. Now look down to verse 24. For there shall rise false Christs or false anointings and false prophets and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive, notice, the very elect. The very elect, the very chosen of God, if possible. But thank God, God will protect, I believe, His chosen people. Amen. Now keep reading. Behold, I told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say to you, behold, is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, is in the secret chambers. Believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth unto the west, so shall also the coming, the parousia, of the Lord, or the Son of Man be. How many know that parousia of Jesus will take place? And you know Jesus is coming in fire, He's coming with fire. Jesus is coming in clouds, and He's coming with clouds. Jesus is coming in saints, He's coming with the saints. Hallelujah. Jesus will come again, gloriously, amen, literally, physically, bodily, from heaven. Can you say amen? He's coming again. Glory be to His name. Hallelujah. And it says, notice now, it says in verse 28, whithersoever the carcass is. Now, this is a dead carcass. This is not life, it's death. I was preached it was a rapture years ago, but you don't want to be in this rapture, amen? It's death. Amen. And it says whether they're the eagles, literally the vultures, will be gathered together. And I was sent a brochure one time by a man who was in end time teachings, and he was caught up in ultimate reconciliation, and he used that scripture, and I said, yeah, that's right. He's got it right. And he's going to meet with the buzzards. Amen. Yeah, amen. But anyway, notice, whithersoever the carcass is, there will literally the vultures be gathered together. And we're talking about the false prophet ministry and those who follow them. That's what he's talking about here. So there is a gathering of them as well. Amen. Praise God. Now, let's see what else this tale. The tale represents the false ministries, false prophets ministries. And we know it also represents the dragon himself. How many know the devil hates us? The word dragon is used 13 times in the book of Revelation. You look it up yourself. 13 times. Now, I'm going to show you this word rebellion. How many know 13 is rebellion? Do we know that? All right, turn to the scriptures. I'm going to show it to you. Look in Genesis chapter, I think it's chapter 14 and verse 4. The Bible, how many know the Bible explains itself in so many ways? You know, we got a lot of good helps and books, and that's fine, but you know, you can overdo it. We need to go what the Word says, isn't that right? Genesis 14, 4, 12 years they served Chet-or-Laomer, and in the 13th year they rebelled. Somebody rebel in the number 13th year. So rebellion is the number 13. Now, I'm sure there's a positive with it, but I'm looking mainly at this negative number. Now, how old was Hezekiah when he got sick and was going to die? Can anybody tell me? He was 39. 3 times 13 is what? 39. Complete rebellion. And you know how he was dying? He had bitterness in his soul. That man had bitterness in him. I didn't know that for this reason. I was studying that. And yet God gave him how many more years? 15. He died at 54. And during that 15 years, God gave him a son called Manasseh. He was one of the worst kings we ever had. He got in the occult and all that stuff. Amen? How many know that God gave him, when he cried out, God answered his prayer. And yet God gave him that son who became a wicked son. How many know there's some things God gives us and later we regret it possibly. Come on. He gave Israel their request, didn't he? But he sent wickedness, come on, into their souls. Amen. Praise God. Now, how many, Jesus, we know there were 12 apostles and Jesus was 13. And we know Judas was the man of sin among them. He was the rebellious one. Isn't that right? And you know the word Judas, Judea, and Judah basically is the same word. If you set them out. And Judah means praise. And there's a praise that betrays Jesus. That which comes out of our head, not out of our heart. Jesus said, those that are in Judea, get up to high ground. Those that are in low ground, get up to the mountains. Amen. When this thing breaks out, we better be in the high mountains. Isn't that right? We better be up in the Holy of Holies, because that's where we're heading. Amen? In the Lord. Praise God. And so the dragon is used 13 times in Revelation. There were 12 rods, and one rod of Aaron makes 13. And let's look at Numbers 17:10. Numbers 17:10. Let's just turn there. Hope you got your Bible today. You're going to need it. 17:10, it says, and the Lord said to Moses, bring Aaron's rod again before the testimony to be kept for a token or a sign against the rebels. Now, how many sticks we got? We got 13 here. And thou shalt quite take away their murmurings from me that they die not. So, we know God's people was rebelling and against authority and some wanted to be the priest. And how many know God said, I'll show you who the priest is. And so, Aaron's rod, come on, you know what it did? It budded, it blossomed, and it brought forth almonds overnight. You got 30, come on, help me. You got 60, you got 100. Almond, the word almond tree, it means the hastener. It's a picture type of the first fruits. God's raising up a first fruit people, isn't it? Oh, my, we get on that, we never get out of here. First fruits. Revelation 14 says he's got that 144,000 who are first fruits. And they're not Jehovah's Witnesses. They are his real people, John. And I teach the 144,000 is a symbolical number, more than a literal number. But and I believe chapter 7 is the same people. I don't see any difference in them, as I said of the scriptures. Praise the Lord. But that's the way I see it. Praise the Lord. But anyway, let's go over to Genesis 10. Look in Genesis 10. Here's another 13. We'll get back to the tale in just a minute. Well, really, we're on it. Because the dragon started all the rebellion, didn't he? Genesis 10, look in verses 8. In verse 8, Cush begat Nimrod. Now, Nimrod was number 13 from Adam. The 13th generation down was Nimrod. And what place did Nimrod start? Come on.
Babylon.
What does Babylon mean? It means the gate of God and confusion, or literally religious confusion. And how many know that Babylon rebels, or those who are in Babylon rebels against God? How many know Babylon is worldwide? It is the economic system, come on, the religious and the political system. And we see at the end of this age, we see those three things, don't we, in Revelation? Amen. My, that's another large subject I like to teach on. But here it says that Cush begat Nimrod in verse 8, and he began to be a mighty one in the earth. And he was a mighty hunter, not just for squirrels and rabbits, but he was after men's souls, I'll tell you. Amen? Before the Lord. Wherefore, he said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter, before the Lord, and the beginning of his kingdom was Babel. Babel, rebel, rebellion. What's the last four letters of rebellion? Lion. The lion started all of it, didn't it? Amen. Jezebel. We got all kind of bells. Okay. So anyway, praise God. We see that the 13th one here, if you study down, don't just take my word for it, you'll see that it is rebellion. Nimrod was the 13th. Now, turn over to Genesis, and also we're there. But let's look in, there's another scripture I want to look at. Look in chapter 16. How many know Sarah had a good idea? She couldn't have children, so she told Abraham to go into her handmaid, and he took her up on it. Very quick. And we know that Ishmael was born, and you look in verse 12, it says in chapter 16, that he will be a wild man. That word wild means a wild ass. How many know there's a wild one in us that has to be dealt with? Come on. And it says his hand will be against every man. And how many know that's still true today in the Middle East as well? Now come on down. It says in verse 15, Hagar bare Abram a son. Not Abraham, but Abram. His name, nature hasn't been changed. And Abram called his son's name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael. And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. Now, how old is that? 86. Now, look at chapter 17, verse 1. We have no other record God speaking to Abraham until this verse. And when Abram was 90 years old and 9, which is 13 years later, which is the number of rebellion, the Lord appeared to Abram and so forth. Amen? Praise God. Look in Mark 7. Look in Mark 7. Mark 7, please. Look at verse 21. And Jesus said these words. Well, go back to verse 20. That which cometh out of the man, he said, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart, proceed, count them, evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. How many are there? 13. Look at the last one. What's the last one? How many believe we get too foolish sometimes? And I'm pointing my finger at myself when I say that. We can get just foolish, can't we? And God said, out of the heart, those things come, you see, out of us. And they defile the man. 13 things. 13 things there. Amen. Praise God. Do you know the word tradition is used 13 times? And I believe its equivalent is 666, if I remember right. Now, let me give you one more. Look in 1 Kings 6. 1 Kings 6. Hallelujah. 1 Kings 6. I mean, who built the temple in the Old Testament? Solomon did. David said, I'm going to build him one. God said, no, you're not. I'm going to build you one. But in 1 Kings 6, look at verse 38. And in the 11th year, in the month Bull, which is the 8th month, was the house finished throughout all the parts thereof, and according to all the fashion of it, so was he 7 years in building it, the temple. 7 years. But look at the next verse. But Solomon was building his own house 13 years, and he finished all of his house. Took him twice almost as long to build his own house as the temple of God. For 13 years, he was in building his own house. I wonder if we've built a lot of rebellion. Probably have. Amen? Praise God. God help us. Now, let's go back to the tail. The tail represents the dragon, represents false prophets. In the scriptures, now, the word tail means to wag, or it means hindmost. Now, turn to Deuteronomy. I want to show you a scripture on hindmost. Deuteronomy 25. I bet some of you know where I'm going. Deuteronomy 25. And I want to look in chapter 25, verse 17. And the Lord tells Moses here, remember what Amalek did unto thee by the way. Now, what does Amalek represent, brethren? The flesh. The flesh. How many know the flesh is a tail of the dragon? Remember what Amalek did unto thee in the way, but when you come out of Egypt, he says here, how he met thee by the way and smote the hindmost of thee. He didn't come from the front of him, he come from the rear, didn't he? And all that were feeble, notice the ones he's hitting, the ones that are feeble, the ones that were faint, the ones that were weary, and he feared not God. The flesh, the carnal realm, doesn't fear God. Therefore it shall be when the Lord thy God hath given thee rest from all thine enemies round about in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for inheritance to possess it, thou shalt blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven, and thou shalt not forget it. And how many know we have to deal with our flesh daily? There is has to be a death blow daily to our flesh. How many know we've got to take up the cross daily and follow Jesus? And what is the cross? It can be many things, but the cross mainly is when your will comes in line with God's will and you lay your will down for His and follow Him. Amen? Amen. Amen. Praise God. And so we see that the flesh is a tail of the dragon. Now, I want to give you another scripture. Go to Galatians 5, and I want to show you how that we overcome the flesh. Praise God. I said the tale earlier, I said the tale was the false prophet ministry. And I showed you yesterday how that foot ministry was going to put a foot on the sea and on the earth. Remember that? And I said that one foot's going to overcome the beast, one's going to overcome the false prophet. And so that end time foot company is going to overcome the beast system and the false prophet ministry. Now we're going to see how we overcome the flesh. Look in Galatians. Are you there? Oh, I'm not. Hang on. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5, and look at verse 16. And the scripture says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust," come on, "of the flesh." The only way we can overcome the lust is through walking in the Holy Ghost. Now, for the lust of the flesh lusteth against the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary, literally antagonistic. Amen? The one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Then he gives us the works of the flesh, which they are. Now come down to verse 24. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections or the passions and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Praise God. We've got to learn to pray in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, live in the Spirit, reside in the Spirit, be led of the Holy Spirit. We're going to be sons of God. Amen? And that's the only way you can overcome the flesh and the lust is begin to live in the realm of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And that's for you and that's for me. That's for all of us today. Praise God. Now turn to Isaiah chapter 19. And let's see here in this chapter also about the tail. Isaiah 19. And in verse 13 of Isaiah 19, it says, "The princes of Zoan are become fools. The princes of Noph are deceived. They have also seduced Egypt, even they that are the stay of the tribes thereof. The Lord hath mingled a perverse spirit in the midst thereof, and hath caused Egypt to err in every work thereof, as a drunken man staggers in his vomit, neither shall there be any work for Egypt which the head," here it is, "or tail, or branch, or rush may do. In that day shall Egypt be like unto women, and it shall be afraid and fear because of the shaking of the hand of the Lord of hosts, which he shaketh over it." What's Egypt a type of? The world. Again, it's the lust of the eye. Come on. Lust of the flesh and the pride of life. Now look in 1 John. How do we overcome this world? 1 John chapter 5 tells us how we overcome. Oh, hallelujah. How many know His Word is true?
Amen.
The Word of God is true. 1 John chapter 5 tells us how we'd overcome this world. And look in verse 3. Look in verse 3. "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. His commandments are not grievous, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" Hallelujah. There's God's overcomers. Amen. Praise the Lord. And notice, he said, "those that believe Jesus is the Son of God." Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." He got a revelation from the Holy Ghost. Once you get a revelation from the Holy Ghost, how many know he's going to make you an overcomer? Who Jesus really is. Hallelujah. So we see the dragon. The dragon's the tail, the false prophet, the flesh, Amalek, and now the world. Now go to Daniel 8. Daniel chapter 8, here's the beast that's against the church. Evil beast, too, I tell you. Look in chapter 8. Daniel talks about the beast coming out of one of the horns that were broken up. Alexander's horn was broken up into four small ones. And out of one of them will come forth a little horn. Then he says in verse 10, "It waxed great even of Daniel 8 to the host of heaven, and it cast down some of the host and of the stars to the ground, and stamped upon them." Literally, it brought them down, brought the men and women of God down, and notice, put his foot upon them. Isn't that something? So the beast is the tail of the dragon. Amen? Now, let me show you something here. Look in verse 11. You'll notice verse 11. It says the place of his sanctuary was cast down. Then you'll notice in verse 12 that it cast down truth to the ground. Then in verse 13, the latter part, the sanctuary and the host was trodden underfoot. And if you got a marginal reference, you got Revelation 11, 2. How many's got that in your Bible? All right, let's turn there just a minute. Hallelujah. How many know there's a lot of people don't have to fall that's going to fall? There's a Revelation 11, 2. There's a lot of people that's going to fall that don't have to fall. There's a lot of people going to apostatize that don't have to if they would go on with Jesus. Amen? Look in Revelation 11, 2. We said yesterday he's rising and measuring the temple of God, those that are worshiping. But verse 2, the court is out of court, that's without the temple, leave it out and measure it not. It's given to the heathen, and the holy city shall they tread. And the holy city, how many know Jerusalem's not a holy city today? Tulsa, Oklahoma's not a holy city today. Come on. Hot Springs is not a holy city. God wants a holy people. How many know we are the city today? You know your scriptures, Revelation 21, Revelation 19. We are that city. Praise God. And so he said in this verse 2, the court that's without the temple, leave it out, measure not. It's given to the Gentiles. The holy city shall they tread underfoot. How long, brethren? 42 months. Now, there's, how many know the majority of Christians are in the out court today? Been saved, blood washed, but many of them don't want to go any higher. But I tell you, there's destruction going to hit the outer court very soon. God's people better come on into the holy place and march towards even the Holy of Holies. Isn't that right? Because these people are going to get run over out here. Many are going to be destroyed by judgments and plagues in the earth. And many will renounce Jesus when that happens. So God help all of us to move up in the Lord today. Don't stay satisfied where you are. Amen? Move up in your God, in your Lord. Don't stay where you are. Now, how do we overcome this beast? Look in Revelation 15. Look in Revelation 15. How do we overcome the beast? Well, the Bible tells us. Speed went in this last night. The Bible gives us answers. Chapter 15, verse 2. He said, I saw as it were a sea of glass. Notice, mingled with fire. That's testings. Them that have gotten the victory. The word victory is the word for overcomer. Them that has gotten the victory over the beast. Notice this word over. Over his image. Over his mark. Over the number of his name. Stand on the sea of glass having the harps of God. They weren't just harping. They had the harps of God. They were worshipers. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy works, thou King of saints. Hallelujah. Now look at the next verse. I want to show you God's going to move. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. How many know God knows how to drive the people in? And when his judgments are made manifest, somebody's going to learn righteousness in the earth. Hallelujah. So there's an overcoming here, isn't there? There's a real overcoming. Now I want to touch, there's two other scriptures I just want to give you. I don't want to touch on them today. On the tail, Revelation 9, verse 3 through 5. Revelation 9, 3 through 5. He talks about the locust coming out of the pit. And, well, let's just look at it. Let's go ahead and look at it. Revelation 9, 3 through 5. And it says here in these verses, praise God. In verse 3, there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and to them were given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God. Where? Notice, in their foreheads. These people have the mind of Christ. Now notice, and to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he strikes a man. Everybody see that? Hallelujah. And then you read on down, he's talking about their tails. And then if you come on down, there's another one on the horses, down in chapter 9, 17 through 19, about the horses and about their tails and their sting as serpents and so forth. How do we overcome scorpions and serpents? Luke tells us, huh? Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all, come on, the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Amen. So God has given us power over, come on, the dragon, over the false prophets. Amen. Over the flesh, over the world, over the beast system, and over scorpions and serpents. Thank God for that. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Now in Revelation 12, not only the tails against the church, but also there is a face and there is a mouth. Let's go to Revelation 12. And then I want to touch on the sealing of the saints in just a minute. Revelation chapter 12. And let's see this. In chapter 12 of Revelation, praise God. I'm going to go down to verses 13. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, let me know he's losing the war. I said he's losing the war. When he saw that he was cast to the earth, he persecuted now the woman. Remember, he was after the man-child. Now he wants the woman. He wants the church. He brought forth the man-child. Which brought forth the man-child, the overcomers, and to the woman, to the church, were given two wings. The two wings of the great eagle. I mean, oh, the Lord's the great eagle. Exodus 19 tells us. He bore Israel on eagle's wings. Now, how many know an eagle has two wings to fly? And that speaks of the mind of Christ. And it speaks to me of the word and the spirit in a people that's been imparted to them by the man-child. This woman was given two wings of the great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness in her testing time, into her place where she's nourished for time, that's 3.5 years. Notice from the face of the serpent. So the face is against the church. Next verse. And the serpent cast out of his what? His mouth water as a flood after the woman. Now let's see what the flood is. Turn to Revelation 16. Let's see what the flood is. Bible explains itself. Revelation 16:13. I saw, John said, three unclean spirits. Like what? I mean, we need to throw our frogs away. Amen. Out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, out of the mouth of the false prophet. There's a false trinity right there. Now notice, for they are spirits of devils, working what? Miracles, false miracles, which go forth out of the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. Behold, right in the midst of it, God says, I come as a thief. Which represents and speaks of an element of surprise. I mean, on Revelation, he tells one church, I'm going to come on you as a thief. Amen? Blessed is he that watcheth and they that keep his garments, lest he walk naked and see his shame. I wanted to teach on the church, the sleeping church, but I couldn't get in that message this time. But I tell you, the church is sleeping. It needs to be aroused. It is the sleeping giant. We need to rise up out of our sleep. Come on, in our death. I mean, oh, in the natural, when you look at a man, two men lying down, one's dead and one's alive, they both look like they're dead. Except one's breathing. Amen. Amen. I won't get into that. But... lest they see a shame. Lest they see a shame. We're talking about naked Christians here. We lose our garments. You know, Jesus said in Luke 24, wait in Jerusalem, he told the apostles, or those 120 as well, until they be endued, literally clothed upon from on high. You look that word up, it means that word indeed, it means sinking into a garment. And isn't it strange a lot of Christians come to church every Sunday and are naked? But as we wait in his presence, he will clothe us with himself. And he's telling us here, watch lest you lose those garments, you walk naked, you become a Laodicean Christian. You know what Laodicea means? It means the people rule. It means other things too, but he said there's shame here. In the natural, how many know a person without clothes on, there's shame? But how much more in the spirit realm if we don't have the garments on? There's a shame. And these pictures of these angels that have clothes, God never made those pictures, I can tell you. God don't have an angel half clothed. An angel appears to you, he's got the real covering on him. Amen? The clothing of the Lord, so to speak. Can you say amen? Praise God. God's clothing himself with light, the Bible says. I mean, we need to be covered with light today. His light, the light of the Lord. Praise God. So, back in Revelation 12, it says, he cast this water out of, against this woman out of his mouth, this flood, They might cause her to be carried away of the flood. So he's casting out a flood of filth. A flood of filth is coming after this woman. Now, it may mean other things too. And the earth, the carnal realm, helped the woman. Now, how this is going to happen, God only knows. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up that flood, that filth, which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman. And now notice he goes to make war with the remnant, literally the seed that's left over for planting for next year. Which keep what? The commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus. How many know Jesus said when the devil speaks, he speaks a lie. Everything comes out of his mouth is a lie. Amen. It is a lie. And so we see that the mouth of the dragon is casting out filth to destroy this church, this woman. Praise God. The end time church will be and is being a persecuted church. The one that brings forth a man child. And we're just beginning to see the rumbles of it here in the United States. How many know we have got to pray for one for another in this hour? Amen? Now turn with me to several scriptures here. Turn to Revelation 7. Now God must seal you and I in this hour. I believe that. God must seal us in this day. Now in Revelation 7, before we read 7:1, look at the last verse of chapter 6. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand? Well, those that are sealed will stand. Those who have the mind of Christ shall stand. We don't have to fear the tribulation, but we better fear God and fear that we get feared out so much that we cry out for that mind of Christ and that seal of God. Amen? And I know it's in stages. How many know there was a sealing took place when you come to Jesus? There was a sealing took place when you got filled with the Holy Ghost. But there's also a sealing of the soul, a saving of the soul, a maturing of the soul that's got to be dealt with. Amen. Now look in chapter 7. After these things, I saw four angels. I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth. Now, how many know the earth has four natural corners? They've seen them from space. They've actually seen that. We don't rule out the natural because the scripture has natural meaning. But I see more than the natural. There's four points to my soul: my mind, will, emotions, and my desires. And how many know God's got a restraining force holding something back here? Until there's a people sealed by God. You know, God had to seal that ark through Noah right before the flood. Isn't that right? And that little basket Moses was in, had to be sealed from that and protected from that water. And so right before the judgment, God is sealing his people. And then when God seals the people, the judgments of God are going to hit this earth like we've not seen. I mean, no, we don't have to fear God's judgments. If we're sealed, God will protect us. And we're not appointed to wrath. We're appointed for tribulation, but not wrath. And there's a difference in there. Vast difference. Now look at verse 1. He said, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth. And I'm looking at our soul realm. God's holding something back. Holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor the sea, nor on any tree. Now the earth is the natural earth, but how many know this is earth? There's a carnal realm, see? There's the natural earth. Or the sea. The sea's the natural, but there's also, it speaks of humanity. The trees out there are the natural, with trees of righteousness, come on, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And I saw another angel. Now he sees four, then he says, I see another angel ascending from the east. He's coming from the east. He's coming from where the sun comes up, so to speak. But he's bringing light. Hallelujah. He's coming from light and he's bringing light. I believe God's opening our eyes to new revelations and new truth. How about you? He said, notice, he ascends, not descends. He's ascending from the east, having the seal of the mark of the living God. That's life. He's sealing us with life. And notice, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, don't hurt the sea, don't hurt the trees till, and notice the next word, we. And that we is a ministry in the earth today with a message that will seal the people of God if they'll hear it. Can you hear that? Yes. Hallelujah. God has his messengers with a message that will be imparted to us by the Holy Ghost, and God will seal us. Amen? We have sealed, notice, until we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. Now look in Revelation 14. I don't care how many times you've seen the scriptures, how many know they're always refreshing when you go over them. I love to go over and over and over these words. There's so many things yet we don't even see. Chapter 14, verse 1. I look and lo, a lamb. Oh, his name is Jesus. Stood. How many know he stood when Stephen died? And he's standing up here with his overcomers. That's who they are. He stood on Mount Zion. Zion or Sion, this word means, in the Greek, it means the church, militant and triumphant. A militant and triumphant army.
Yes,
amen? And notice, with him. Notice the phrase, with him. Everybody say, with him. Now let me give you two scriptures on that before we go any further. Look in Revelation 17. Two scriptures on that word, with him. Now there's others, but I just give you those two. Revelation 17 and verse 11. Here we're dealing with Babylon, the religious Babylon. It says, and the beast that was, and is not even, he's the eighth, is of the seven, and goes into perdition. The ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but received power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These shall have one mind. Now, if they can have one mind, why can't we?
Yeah.
Is that right? Notice, and shall give their power and strength to the beast. Well, we need to give our power and strength to the Lord. These shall make war with the Lamb. But where's the Lamb at, brethren? He's in us. It's going to draw you into the warfare. And the Lamb shall overcome them. Oh, hallelujah. For he's Lord of lords, King of kings. And they that are, here it is, with him, are called out of court. Chosen, holy place. And faithful, holy of holies. There's God's sons. Now look in Revelation 20. Praise God. Isn't this word rich?
Amen.
Wonderful. Verse 4. Revelation 20, verse 4. I saw thrones, John says, and they sat on them. And judgment was given to them. Daniel said that in chapter 7. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, for the word of God, which have not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again till 1,000 years were finished. This is, come on, the first resurrection. How many want to be part of the first resurrection? All right, look at the next part. Here's the key, next part. Blessed, blessed, that means to be envied, happy, fortunate, and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the lake of fire, or the second death, hath no power over those people. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, here it is now, and shall reign with him.
Amen.
1,000 years. That's overcomers. Now I want to prove it again, it's overcomers. Notice something though. He said the second death has no power over these people. Now go back to Revelation 2, verse 10 and 11. Hallelujah. Revelation 2, 10 and 11. And John says in verse 10, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. How many know suffering's real today? It really is. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison. There are people in their homes that are prisoners. Afraid to come out of their house. Afraid somebody's going to kill them. It can happen. We need to have compassion upon those kind of people. That you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. I mean, it may be 10 years. Or 20. Be thou faithful unto death. I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. We're talking about overcomers. We're talking about people overcoming, and the lake of fire cannot touch them. There'll be no smell of the lake of fire on these people because they've been approved by God. Can you say amen? Now go back to Revelation 14. Hallelujah. And I want to tell you, there is hell and there is a lake of fire, and I don't want to go there. And there's heaven too. Praise God. If we die, we go to heaven. Amen. We'll be with Jesus. People have just wiped those things off. I want to tell you, heaven's real. Hell's real. Revelation 14. He said again, notice, he said he saw this people, this 144,000. Anybody got an amplified translation? Here. Somebody stand and read it real loud. I want you to hear verse 1 in the Amplified Translation. Would you please read it? Sister Bernadine, chapter 14 of Revelation, and verse 1. It reads just a little different than the King James. Now, I'm a King James man, but I do use other translations with, at times, with Scripture. And I like this because it's correct. Okay. Yeah, 14:1. Read it real loud.
Then I looked, and lo, the Lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000 and princes and men who had his name and his father.
Now notice that his name and his father's. Okay, that's good enough. Praise the Lord. Thank you, sister. His name and his father's name inscribed on or in their foreheads. Praise God. Well, if you got Jesus, you have the Father. Come on. If you got the Father, you got Jesus. And so, notice, here it says, King James, that his father's name was written in their foreheads. And, of course, that's the mind of Christ. And he said, I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters. You see that in chapter 1, chapter 19 as well. As the voice of a great thunder, and I heard the voice of harpers. Here it is again, harping. With their harp, they're worshiping the Lord. And they sung, as it were, what? A new song. How many like new song? Yes. Many waters, yes. A new song speaks of a new message. Something new. How many know the New Testament? Everything's new. New heavens, new earth. Amen? New creation. And yet here, they're singing a new song. And notice, before the throne, and before the beast, and the elders, and no man can learn that song. No man can learn. You can go to any Bible college you want to. How many know it takes a revelation from the Holy Ghost to give us this song? It's about the Lamb, I can tell you. Because we have a Lamb company here. Amen? Hallelujah. Now notice what it says. No man can learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women. That's the harlot church. They are virgins, wise virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. Now, to follow the Lamb means two things. There's a cross, and you'll be led of the Holy Ghost. And that Lamb will lead you places you don't want to go in your flesh. Let me tell you that. Oh, yes, he will. Now, listen to what it says. It says here, these were redeemed from among men, being, literally out from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. They're God's first fruits. They mature first, but they're not going to put their fingers on their arms. They look at me, I'm somebody. They'll be the most humble people, hear me, and the most loving people that you've ever seen that walks the earth, because God's going to take all that old pride out of them. Come on, somebody say amen. God help us. Forgive us, Lord, of pride and arrogancy. Come on, haughtiness. In boastfulness, forgive us, Lord Jesus. Now look at verse 5. In their mouth was found no guile, no deceit, for they are without fault before the throne of God. I can say a lot about the throne there, but I won't go into that. So this is the Lamb Company. This is the First Fruit Company. This is the Zion Company. God, that's why we should sing a lot about Zion. Because God has a Zion people that he's raising up. And I want to close with just a couple things real quick. Go to Psalms 125. Speed read this last night. And I love this. I put this in my little booklet back there on the rapture. Who said rapture book I have? But in Psalms 125, I love the scripture. Praise God. 125, verse 1. They that trust in the Lord shall be. Not what we can do, it's what we can be. They shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed. Now, I know there's a lot of people looking to be removed today by rapture, but it's not going to happen today, I can tell you. I mean, old Zion in the natural over there is there to stay. And God has a Zion people. Amen. He said it cannot be removed, but abideth forever. God's Zion is going to stay here. Come on. And remain forever.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Because the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is going to abide with us and in us in that day. Hallelujah. Can you say amen?
Amen?
So God is sealing us. God is doing a work in all of us. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
And we need to pray for those who have fallen, those who are falling, and who shall fall. And we better pray that we don't fall. That we stay humble. That we stay meek before the Lord. And when we sin, be quick to repent. Amen? Don't let it build up. When you sin, repent. If you're like me, I'm repenting every day. of things. And it's good. I need to repent. I mean, no, our attitudes need to change. Ask my wife sometimes. Praise God. Amen. Let's stand. May the Lord bless you. God loves you. Appreciate all of you today. Brother and Sister Coffey's going to minister this afternoon, and I know you'll be blessed by that, their ministry. And tonight. And I'm sorry I can't be here to hear John. I tell you, John brought a word last time. You need to get the tape. I'm serious on what John preached last time. It will bless you. It's one of the best words I've ever heard preached here. I tell you, it was a good, good, solid word. I challenge you to get the tape from last time that John preached. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you. We thank you for all the people, Lord, and the ministries, again, that you sent. And Lord, we thank you for this word. This word is life to us. It's a light to our pathway. Lord, you said the very entrance of this word brings life and light. I thank you for the word of God that will change us, that will spark us, Lord, and it will encourage us, it will challenge us, it will convict us. And I thank you, Lord, that the word is doing a work in your people. Lord, forgive us of all religiosity. Let that which comes out of our mouth be right and pure and holy, Lord. Forgive us for all pride, haughtiness, arrogancy, Lord, boastfulness of any kind. We repent, Lord Jesus, and ask forgiveness and a cleansing and a washing by the precious blood of Jesus. Lord, use us, anoint us. Again, Lord, bless the rest of the camp meeting. Lord Jesus, the speakers and those that are here, and bring even other people in that's hungry. We thank you for them, Lord. And again, we lift up Glenn and Irma. We ask for strength for them. And Lord, it's your power and your anointing to rest over this campground, Lord God. Lord, we ask you to keep away the troublemakers. And God, bring in those who have hearts, who want to learn, and Lord, who want to grow in the Lord. We thank you for all that you've done in these meetings throughout the years here, Lord. We thank you for Irma and Glenn's faithfulness. And I pray every need shall be met in this camp, God. Every need, Lord, that the finances shall come in, and we bless you for it now. In the mighty name of God. Jesus, and I bless all the ministers, I bless the people. And we all said in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.